I would like to encourage you, if as I'm speaking, as we're going through these great truths, if you've got a question, fire away. Don't hesitate to ask a question. Because this is absolutely fascinating stuff. I like to know what's going on. I like to know what happens. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. As usual, I'll ask different people to read things as we go through. Romans 8, 18. I'm going to start on the right side. Nita, if you will read real loud, Romans 8, 18. Okay. There is something glorious. What? You think my mic is inside out. What does that mean? Is it rubbing? All right. My order of Nathan, I'm going to move this. Is that better? Okay, how's that? No?
It's still the same?
I don't understand. It doesn't seem... Is it hovering, humming? Buzzing? Thunder? That's me! No. What do you mean, thunder? Let's see. To do. Fire. The media. The multimedia group. Goodness. All right. Let's see if I can do this. Is it working or no? Now it's working. See, you just had to stand up and twist and hold your hand up like this. Well, just put up with it, will we? All right. I'll record it as a backup in case it gets bad. So, according to Romans 8:18, it says that there is a glory that is in you that you don't know about. All right? I like how Paul calls it Christ in you, the hope of glory. And one of these days, we're going to get to heaven in this, as they say in the song, this robe of flesh. What's left is more important than all the time you spent, makeup, hairstyle, clothes, showers, lipstick, foundation, zit medicine, can I say that? Spots, and everything you put on the outside, you're going to find out was nothing compared to what's in you. One of these days, the Lord's going to show you the glory that He put in you the moment that you were born again. And some of the things that, we're not going to go over all the things because it would take us too long to review, but you made a choice to be born again. It was not imposed upon you. You weren't born a Christian. You had to be what? Born again. So you're born again by your choice, which is a scary thought. Thinking about it, you know, sometimes you and I, we make flippant decisions. But can you imagine the cost of a flippant decision to not get saved? How should we escape if we neglect so great salvation? So just putting off salvation, getting saved, is a choice that will cost us for all eternity. So a choice can make a lot of difference. You can choose to reject God's gift, or you can choose to neglect it, put it off, or you can accept it by faith. We pointed all this out last week, and I'm just glad God made it simple. Amen. Choose you this day. That's the thing. Now, if you do nothing, I was 17 years old, I was on my way to hell. If I did nothing, I was going to keep going on the way to hell. Do you understand that? If you choose to do nothing, then nothing will change in your life. But if you actually do choose Christ, He then saves you, changes not only your destination, but He changes your mind. He changes your heart. He doesn't make you perfect, but He sure does give you a lot of stuff that helps you live differently. Now, here's something here. Salvation is not something done to you by force. Okay? Now, I'm going to use a phrase. I don't want people to misunderstand me, but and I don't want to answer the question about it now. Don't think a question immediately. But in Calvinism, God forces Himself upon a person. That's abuse. God doesn't do that. Like real love, He offers and He asks us to respond by faith. I respond by my choice. He does not impose on us. Okay? So, Salvation is not something that's done to you by force. That's Calvinism, and it is biblically wrong. All right? Calvin taught a lot of good stuff, but he taught some bad stuff. All right? What you're about to learn are things that happen the very moment you were born again. And we looked at Romans 8:18. If only you could see what the world can't even dream about. They talk about the inner light. They have no idea. I don't have an inner light. I have Jesus Christ. All right? I don't have any goodness in me. He which is good came in me. So, but one of these days, the Lord's going to roll it back, and I'm going to realize how much I spent time on the old me and on the outer me instead of rejoicing in the perfection of the inner me, the new man in me. Okay, so the first thing that happens when you get saved is you get saved. Salvation happens. That is your fill in there. The moment you were born again, you were saved. What a great word. Acts 16:31. What does the Philippian jailer ask of Paul and Silas? Anybody remember? How did he know the word say? How does this pagan Greek Gentile know to ask the question? He doesn't say, How do I become a better person? He says, what do I have to do to be saved? How did this Philippian jailer know about the word say? Huh? Paul and Silas inside that jail, they were, I tell you, use every situation you can to teach. Isn't that what Jesus sent his disciples to do? Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Sometimes through song. I do not enjoy modern Christian music. You know why? Because they teach nothing. But you hear a hymn. You hear somebody singing a hymn. It's full of truth. So Paul and Silas singing in that prison cell and probably asking each other, so Silas, tell me again how you got saved. Amen. And then that jailer, he's put it off. He's not listening. But even as he's taking his nap, he hears that word and he bolts in that door and he says, what do I have to do to get saved? You never know the little things that you do that people will pick up and they'll learn. So that's what that means. Now I'll tell you a little secret. Our first song that we were singing, what was the first song we sang? No, sorry. The very first hymn. Isn't the love of Jesus. Was that our very first one? The very first hymn we sang tonight? No, that was a little bit. The woman that's out there, blonde hair, I went out there to ask her for more chairs. Now, everybody was singing in here. You know what she was doing? She was singing along. She was singing the words. She's never been, well, she has been in church like twice, hasn't she? But there she was. They're sitting out there listening to our singing, and they're picking it up. They don't even have the hymnal in front of them, but they know the next word. They know the words. If only they would go, so what do I have to do? Amen. All right, the point is, it's a great word. You don't need to ask somebody, are you religious? Do you go to church? Are you saved? It's a good question. We're saved, and the first thing that when we talk about saved from what? Saved from wrath to come. What did John the Baptist preach when he got up there? He said, repent! For the kingdom of God is at hand, the kingdom of heaven even. And then when people started coming, he looked at the Pharisees, and what did he say to those snakes in the grass? What did they say to him? He says, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? He said, who told you to flee? Who told you to come and hear the preaching today? We're saved from the wrath to come. Also, continuing on, let's move on down. We talked about how salvation is a threefold work of God. But let's move on to our next subject, and that is that if we're saved, that means that we're free from the condemnation of the law. Go to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13. To the right from Romans, Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13. Need to help Kelly find it there. Would you read it, Kelly? Would you read it? Colossians 2:13. Real loud. Good, she got it. Colossians 2:13 and 14. Listen to these words. Huh? uncircumcision. All right, what you just read is an amazing thing, that God had a list of ordinances, commandments, that were against us. Listed everything that was wrong with us, everything that we've ever done against God, and God took that list, and what did He do with it? He nailed the list to the cross. He nailed the laws, the condemnation of us, to the cross, and He blotted out all of that condemnation with what? With His blood. John 5 and verse 24. John chapter 5. See if Adelina can... Nope, all right. Well, Jennifer will. John 5, 24. I just love scaring women. That's what I do. John 5, 24. John 5, 24. Please. Wow. We're not going to come into condemnation anymore. Do we break any laws? Yes, God's laws. Yes or no? Yes, we do. Quite a few of them. Somebody says, well, I'm pretty good. Yeah. Well, you're not good enough. And even after you're saved, you've got to realize that everything that was against you, everything that was against you, your past, present, and future transgressions have been forgiven. You will not. It is impossible for a Christian to come under the condemnation of God now. Hallelujah. That's why I got saved. Because I was under the condemnation of God, and in the original Hebrew, I ain't no more. Galatians 3:13, Andrew. Galatians 3:13. That's to the right, just a few books.
Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree.
Now you know what you're looking at? You're looking at what's called imputation. Imputation is a transfer of the curse that was supposed to be on us, and it was put instead on Jesus. And if the curse was put upon Jesus, who was righteous, all His righteousness has been transferred where? Onto us. And it's just a mind-blowing truth that Christ has redeemed. He didn't just wave His hand and says, you're all forgiven. No, He paid for it. He redeemed us from the curse of the law. Romans 8, 1. Let's see, Bill.
Build on.
Romans 8, 1. Go back to the left. Excellent. So how much condemnation is on a Christian? None. Now, does that mean that I never do wrong? Does that mean I never get in trouble at all? No, I get in trouble, but I'm not damned. You hear the word damned in that word? Condemnation. Shortened slang, it becomes damned. I cannot be damned. You cannot be damned. As a matter of fact, I can't even say it. How could any Christian wish damnation on anybody? We wouldn't want it, but I have passed from death unto life. No more condemnation. Romans 8:33. Also, Bill, if you'll read, I'm going to have you read down to 39. Romans 8:33-39. Listen to these most amazing words. Mm-hmm. No, justify it. Oh, so if somebody comes along and says, you know, Bill, I know you, and you're not that perfect. I mean, I know you, I know what you have passed, and I know what all the things that, you know, I just know you, Bill, you know. I don't want to go too far, but somebody comes along and points a finger at you, you just smile and wave, okay, honestly, because who should they look at? According to that verse, it is not you that have to pay for your sins now. It is Christ that died for those sins. Yea, is rather is risen again. You could do nothing. You allowed Him to take your place. He justified. Somebody says, well, you're not very good. I don't have to be very good. Amen? He has been perfectly good. Keep going. Sorry. Still going on. What verse are you on? 35. Amen. Keep going down to verse 39. Wow. So what has taken precedence? What is more powerful in my life than the law of God, according to that verse? Not just Christ Jesus, but nothing shall separate us from the love. Tell you what, I kind of like the love of God. Yes, ma'am. Okay. We are saved from sin's punishment. You weren't paying attention 2 weeks ago, were you? That's all right. Saved from sin's punishment. We're saved. We are being saved from sin's power. And one day we will be saved from sin's presence. That's all right. And then the bottom, there's how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation. All right. We are free from the condemnation of the law. That's what happened when you got saved. God didn't just, again, close His eyes and say, oh, all right, everybody's okay. No. He had to judge sin, didn't He? You would have every right to fire a judge who did not judge a crime. The question is, who's going to pay the penalty? If I paid the penalty for my crime, I would do it for all eternity in the devil's hell. But if Jesus Christ took my place, He could finish it on the cross. Amen? All right. We are free from the condemnation of the law. Maybe that's not anything to you. I'm glad for it. Some people say, well, I didn't get saved because of fear. God bless you. Amen. I did. I didn't want to go to hell. Second thing in salvation, actually third thing, we have been instantly delivered from the power of darkness. We have been instantly delivered from the power of darkness. Colossians 1:13. Georgina, would you read Colossians to the right? Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. All right, now I know you got an Irish citizenship, right? So you're in the kingdom of the Irish. But you also, the moment you were born again, what kingdom were you translated into? Were you brought into? What kingdom are you in? You are in the kingdom of God. And in that kingdom, who reigns? The devil? Jesus Christ reigns. It's the safest place to be. There may be all kinds of battles going along, but I'm in the right kingdom. Amen? And I have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Let's look at another one here. John 10:10. Abube? Nemesoma? Who, someone, one of you? John chapter 10 and verse 10. Abundantly. Excellent. So, well done. So, under the kingdom of darkness, under the dominion of the devil, what was the end result of the devil's work in our life? Sin, when it is finished, it brings forth what? But if I am delivered, like it says, we have been delivered from the power of darkness, I now have life. I now have life. And let me make a point before we take a break here. Go to 1 Corinthians, go to the right, find 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 5. Here's a question for you. I'll ask you a question. Does the devil have any power in your life? Yes, he does. Not over your soul. He has no grip on your eternal destiny. He has no grip on your soul. But just about everything else he does. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 5. Brother Martin, please. Now, it's just one verse in the context. The context is what? Do you remember what was going on? Delivered to Satan, and Satan was going to make mint of his life. The church needs to take it very seriously. The fact that you stay with this book, you stay with God's people, you're in a special place of protection. You rebel and go out and go sow your oats and go have your fun, you're in the devil's, back in the devil's domain. He cannot damn you. He cannot bring condemnation on you, but he can still ruin your life. Sometimes there are times when we've had to do it. We've had to actually say, bye-bye. We don't have anything to do with you until you want to have something, get back right with God and with the people you've offended. And we put them out and we deliver them unto Satan again. Not that Satan has control of their soul, but he can ruin just about everything else. And it is a right thing to do. You say, it's terrible. No, it's called justice. And God is gracious to save a person's soul, but your flesh can be ruined. You ever seen, sin destroys, doesn't it? And you know, when you walk with God, you walk with God's people, God just sort of extends your life. You pull back and you walk with the devil's crowd, you live back in sin and your life shortens. So we have, our flesh is not delivered from Satan, but one day it will. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. Let's see. 1 Corinthians 15, Brother Martin, would you also read verse 54 to 57? 1 Corinthians 15, 54 to 57. So we've even been given, the power of darkness is the power over death and the grave. And according to that verse, death has no sting anymore. The grave is no victory. That's a pretty powerful force. Everybody I've ever buried has stayed in the grave, amen? But we have been delivered from the power of that grave because one of these days our body's coming back up again. All right, so we got to stop there and we got to talk to our missionary over in... Yes, let me see here. Plug in that speaker there.